Simpsons Index, an online spreadsheet that is also a podcast. This is The Podcast.
Coming to you out of SideQuest Studios, this is The Simpsons Index, episode 253. Hello out there, I'm your host Elliot Cheroniel, joined here as always, except when he's not, by BT Calloway.
Ahoy hoy.
And once again, returning champion Diana Green.
You can't get rid of me.
The crowd goes wild.
Keep saying no, but you keep finding my email.
Keep finding new ways to blackmail.
Skywriting this time was a bit drastic.
That's what we do with those Patreon dollars.
That's it, but we'll talk more about the Patreon later. But for now, this is the free podcast. Yes, this is a Simpsons Index. We review Simpsons. And Diana returning again. We like to ask our returning guests, how have you been keeping up with The Simpsons since your last appearance?
I've actually been keeping up with it a lot because I'm still mooching off your Disney Plus account.
Ah, that's you.
Moochie, moochie.
Yeah, that's me.
That's pretty well every previous guest is mooching off that account.
I'm on that account.
Like, I want to say last time I was here, I talked about, I forget the name of the episode, but it's the one where Homer and Marge are stranded in the woods.
Oh, that's right.
That is a beloved episode, and I think I didn't love it as much, but after watching the rest of the last two or three seasons, I really like this new batch of episodes.
Yeah, wow.
At worst, they're interesting, and usually they're good. I've watched every single episode from the last two or three seasons.
All right.
And they're really good, and I kind of forgot how less good earlier Modern Simpsons was, and today was a nice reminder.
Yeah, well, that's it, because, yeah, there's been a lot of think pieces published. Oh, The Simpsons is back, and, you know, you hear that headline shouted periodically.
They shouted at us a lot as well.
Especially us, the main detractors, the enemies of The Simpsons.
The podcasts, yes.
But season 30 itself is still our lowest rated season. And yeah, I feel like we really had to get to the depths to claw to where we are now, where it has like felt like the more newer episodes we're doing, it's like, yeah, there hasn't really been a super awful one in the bunch. I mean, again, touch wood. But yeah, I still haven't done any from season 35 yet. Oh, wow. I still haven't personally watched any.
Big fan.
Yeah?
Yeah, for the record, I have not watched most of, like, 25 through 32 or 33.
It's a barren wasteland.
Yeah, but the last ones, they're still good. I don't like to admit that, because it feels like every year for, like, 20-something years, people said, oh, The Simpsons is good again, and then you watch it, and it's season 18. but this time, they're finally right.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's good. Even my partner was one of those people who couldn't watch The Simpsons growing up because of strict parents.
Contraband, yeah.
Yeah. And when I forced them to watch every episode, they were like, no, we're stopping. We're halfway through season 14. We haven't even gotten to Mo Baby Blues, but we're stopping. And I was a bit sad the cutoff point was so early, because there are a couple episodes I like after that. There's Mo Baby Blues and maybe another one. But they've watched all the new episodes of me and love it.
Yeah, wow.
And whenever we... Okay, sorry, they interrupted to say love is a strong word.
It's weird, they weren't even home at the time. They had to drive back.
But they tolerate it. But whenever I do any other episode, from even the teens until whatever we watch today, it's not as nice a reception.
Yeah, wow. Well, I mean... Yeah, looking forward to covering some of those. And, you know, seeing as though we can't get rid of you, we might as well get you back at some point to review some of those newer modern ones. But
that,
how about we go for...
2000 show.
Yeah. Oh, have they done that?
Yeah,
give them time.
Yeah, they will. 9/11 was such a nostalgic day.
We all remember.
When Bart was negative 10.
I mean, this one, like, had been nostalgic for the beginning of 2020. So...
Yeah, that
such optimism.
Yeah, an episode that's only 4 years old yet feels 16 years old.
Oh my, yes.
But let's hook into it. So yeah, we just watched season 31, episode 11, Hail to the Teeth, first released in January of 2020. It was directed by Mark Kirkland, written by Elizabeth Kiernan Averick in her first Simpsons writing credit. In this episode, the title refers to Lisa gets braces again. Because she's getting one row of teeth done at a time. She gets her top row of teeth done, and the braces or the thing make force her to smile constantly, but she finds it's having some positive effects in her life at school and such. And in the other story, I don't know which one's the A and B in this one, but in the other story, Artie Ziff marries a Marge bot? What? Hey, what do we think?
I mean, I just told you.
You don't want to know what I think. No,
I do. That's why I have a podcast and why I invited you today.
I'm just going to say, you know, Marge as a robot had to be done because I was in that Gump roast. So I feel like they had to do it. You know, it's up there if Mo gets a cell phone.
One day.
But I just want to say, not only did this feel like Lisa gets braces, it really strongly reminded me of Moaning Lisa in season one, where the whole thing was, if you smile more, the boys will like you. And Marge instantly stopped Lisa from doing that as soon as she found out Lisa didn't like it.
Yeah, and that wonderful heartfelt moment that just gets paved over in this one.
Yeah, so it's a lot of the Lisa story is playing on this, you know, whole thing where guys will go to women, hey, you should smile more.
They usually add toots on the end or wolf whistle at the beginning, one or the other, I don't know.
They're all Tex Avery cartoons of eyes popping out.
Yeah. Pretty much. There's the wackiness. Yeah. I don't know where I sort of feel on this one because it kind of just felt like it sort of happened at me. Like,
Look, I started quite down on this one. It got better as the episode went on, and then I started and ended very down on it. So I'm diamond shape on this one.
Right.
And as we say, if you're going to stick something, stick the landing, which is the direct opposite of this. This is kind of getting the middle okay.
Yeah. Odd structure, yeah.
You know when Lisa makes fish sticks and they're frozen inside but they're burnt on the outside? It's like that, only worse.
Glad I'm not having to eat it. Well, we'll throw to you first, Diana. For better or worse, what's a moment from this one that stands out to you?
I did kind of like, what the fuck did I like? I'm looking at my notes now. Right. And I'm
better
just
or
like,
worse.
Oh. Okay, now there was one better, but they remembered Mary Bailey exists.
Yeah, just wheeled her out for a random, like, cameo in quotations.
Yeah, it's a weird throwback, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to be reminded of better episodes, which this basically was about, like, two better episodes. In fact, I'm going to hate the words coming out of my mouth, but even Gump Roast was a better episode.
Ooh.
So this whole thing is just better episodes.
Yeah.
Even the other 10 Artie Ziff episodes, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of, like, because I know we covered I Married Marge with you in the past, and, you know, Artie Ziff is sort of, like, part of that whole story of Marge and Homer's love, and I'm like, yeah, what is, like, the next chapter in that in, like, the 30s, in the Disney era? And I thought that'd be interesting to explore, and it ended up being so little of the episode.
Yep.
Like, it felt like, that's why I said I wasn't really sure which was the A and B story, because, like, technically the Artie story is, like, the first thing happening, but then it becomes so reduced over time, and it feels like it is so rushed.
I will say there's something we can say for this episode. It does remember Simpsons, because it does say Lisa gets braces, and she's like, didn't I already have braces? And there's a bit where Artie Ziff mentions getting out of prison, because he went to prison in a previous one. So hey, at least it kind of remembers Simpsons history.
It also reminds me of the Furious D thing, where comic book guy's like, remember the other time the Simpsons got a horse?
Yeah.
Like, just acknowledging it isn't great, but I guess it's better than not acknowledging
it. It's better than not, I would say.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't even know to go to that effort. It's just like, because in that episode where Lisa got braces, she also got invisible braces. Like, she just needs a tune-up or something. I don't know. Like, it felt like they over-explained it in that way.
Yeah, like, this was a part of the whole very clunky beginning, because Lisa's walking down the street and reading, like, you know, a magazine about how the Earth is fucked and we're all going to die, and some rando jumps out and is like, hey, sweetie, you'd be a lot prettier if you smiled more. And the way we get her to getting braces is Bart has an app that shows what Lisa will look like in 10 years, and she has braces on. And it's like,
which was also a thing done on the
previous
episode.
Fully.
Yeah, but I mean, at least that was an advanced computer. That was a proper computer monitor. It was a desktop, for God's sakes. But yeah, it's just like, why did we not just start at the dentist? Mm. It seems like such an easier way, or something else, or I don't know. Lisa like breaks a tooth and that's why she needs new braces or something.
It's a good idea. I was just thinking, one thing I noticed from the even newer episodes is they don't really have openings anymore in the later season. It just cuts straight to the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This had a full opening. It had a couch gag, which was slightly longer. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were just padding for time. That's why we got that extra scene at the beginning, which they did make several callbacks to, which...
Surprisingly.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out, just while I'm being petty and annoying, that magazine Lisa's reading also has an ad for the Canyon Arrow on the back.
Oh, is that right?
Another callback.
Which... Callbacks within callbacks.
If she's reading a magazine on how the Earth is fucked, it is kind of funny that... Yeah, they're advertising a high-powered SUV, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay that. Like, I didn't laugh, but I'll pay it.
you gotta get your advertisers where you can.
Yeah.
Anyway, stamps, don't you hate going to the post office? Stamps.com.
BT, what stands out to you for better or worse?
All right, so it's a long one. Excuse me while I unpack this. But so Lisa gets her braces, and they calls her to smile all the time. She's like, what's going on? Why are people being nice to me? I don't understand. Oh, it's because I'm constantly smiling. Well, I'm popular now, but I hate being popular for this. This is, you know, not who I am. And then only when she realizes, when she recycles, and people are like, hey, everyone, the happy girl is recycling. They start recycling. She's like, oh, if I'm going to be popular, I may as well try and do something good with it. But the kind of heart moment they try for after she loses the class election, because now she can only frown, she sits there and says, I didn't want to believe my popularity was based on my stupid smile. And I immediately paused and went, okay, first of all, you always knew your popularity was based on your smile. And second of all, you didn't care about the popularity. You cared about what you could do with it. The episode that does have a memory of Simpsons, you know, previous episodes, it forgets its own point. And that really pissed me off. Because in one line, it undermined everything it thought it had done by just not paying attention. And then the Marge she's talking to is a robot anyway, which Lisa didn't even know that was a plot line. So if your mother just sprouted wings and carried a man away, you'd be like, I have many questions and some screaming to do.
See, yeah, that implies that the Marge bots are around Springfield and they're starting to assume her life in some ways. Like, that's a creepy dystopian potential Treehouse of Horror episode right there.
Yep, Marge bots.
Wait, you mean like the time that Homer kept cloning himself?
Yeah, like that, only with Marge bots.
Yeah, that's it. Simpsons did its effect is in so in effect that they have to, like, start out the episode by going, I know, we've done this, let's just do it again.
Yeah, Simpsons did it squared.
One thing is, with the whole plot being centered around like a school election, I kind of hate to say it, but I feel like for a 2020 episode, they would have done something like, because Lisa realized that doing something good in front of people made them want to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would have been like an influencer or something, like something more modern. This feels like especially 90s. But it's also an episode that has Artie Ziff flossing, so I don't know where we are in all this.
It is embarrassing the amount of time Simpsons have done a flossing joke now. Like,
yeah, only Bluey can do that.
Bluey can do anything. Bluey is a beloved series by all.
Yeah. Oh, God, I really hope that there isn't a Simpsons Bluey parody in the work. There probably is.
It'll be called Yellowy.
Ugh. Dun, 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 dun. Marge. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, probably the one part of the episode that I did actually get a legitimate chuckle where Bart was talking about the swing voters, and of course it's a playground swing, and
yeah,
the monkey bar voters are on the climb and whatever.
Yeah, that got me. That was a clever little riff.
I didn't like that joke, but the moment that got a laugh out of me was much stupider. It was just at the wedding, and so even the rhino was leaving.
Yeah,
I don't know why. That was just funny. Didn't dwell on it too long.
Yeah, you know what? The rhino was one thing where I was like, I really rolled my eyes and cringed hard at the whole, oh, that elevator was meant for 30 people and only one Homer came
up. We took up a rhino last week.
You get it? I think that Homer is a little overweight.
Yeah, that was awful.
But every single thing that the rhino did afterwards was good.
Right.
Like,
I do like what Artie Ziff says to the rhino. Ah, you're one in a million. Actually, quite literally. Please don't fall off this roof. It's like, yeah, it's an endangered creature. Okay, that's good. Hmm.
So yeah, this leads perfectly into the wackiness of this episode.
I think rhino MVP. I think we just all agreed on that.
There were not only many robots of Marge, there was a spider Marge and a slinky dog Marge.
It was like, okay, you're trying to recreate Marge, but it keeps going wrong. Why did you make a spider Marge? Just got bored, I guess.
Don't judge him.
Yeah. Oh, I'll judge him. It's Artie Ziff.
And you can judge him for other reasons.
What do we think as well about the half-hearted Mr. Well, I'm kind of editorializing like a bit there. But the whole Artie Ziff thing where, like, it's revealed it's Marge, and then Marge is under the assumption that it's a woman that looks like her, and then it's, like, a big reveal that it's actually a robot clone. How do we think that played out?
Look, the whole Artie Ziff plotline can fuck off. I didn't like a single bit of it, except for the Rhino.
Mm.
Rhino MVP.
Rhino saves the day. Save the Rhinos.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to think about it. I wrote in my note that every time Artie shows up, he gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
And this time, he just needs to be murdered and never dealt with again.
Yeah, he needs to be murdered, and then they're like...
By a rhino.
Yeah, naturally. And then they're like, oh, you can inherit my fortune if you spend one night in a haunted house. And I don't know, something happens, give me $50, I'll figure it out.
No, he needs to lose his fortune again, need the Simpsons, and then he'll get his fortune again a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll try to get Marge, and if we can do this every 5 years. Also, bring Mona Simpson back to life somehow, then maybe she'll die again.
Yeah, so in order to, like, woo Marge, Artie Ziff buys a social media website only to run it into the ground. There's something we can do with that.
If this episode was made, like, 5 years later, instead of a robot, it would have been a ChatGPT.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I think you've called it there, Diana. That's going to be... There's totally going to be a Marge AI happening with Artie Ziff in the future.
Why do they keep bringing Artie Ziff back? It's never good.
John Lovitz is a fun guy to listen to.
Yeah, he's a delightful man, but the episodes... I don't think... Is there a single good one?
Other than
the first one.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And you hit on it before, Diana. Like, it's just... It's a character of diminishing returns, and it feels like, yeah, we've essentially peaked, and like there's just not much
we
more
peaked
we can
in season two.
Yeah. Fully. But I didn't hate the episode where like he like recreated the prom, and like Homer thought that they were cheating, and
By the standards of 30 plus years of The Simpsons, it's probably in the top half.
But
the lower half is a spider.
Yeah.
It's probably in like my top three Artie Ziff episodes, but...
Yeah.
And this will go on the Artie Ziff playlist, one that no one should ever watch.
The Artie Ziff decks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the Artie Ziff thing is where the majority of the wackiness comes over, but, like, it feels like we've been naturally talking about the heart anyway, so, yeah, like, the whole heart with Artie Ziff and the bot and anything, like, it just felt, like, so underbaked with, like, Marge's concern and whatever, and, like I said before, like, it did feel like a real half-hearted misdirect that we as the audience was meant to believe that it was a woman that looked like Marge, like...
You know, that at least that would have kind of been more interesting. There'd be more heart in, I have to explain to this woman that her marriage is a sham because he's just trying to replace me. And maybe they find out that, no, it's just a weird coincidence or something, and this is a genuine thing. Or at least there's more drama and there's more heart to that rather than, no, it lied, it's a cyborg. Like, fuck.
And it can be like that other episode where Flanders cut that singer's hair to look like Maud.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, imagine asking a woman to do that. You want me to do what with my hair? How many cans of hairspray will that take? Yeah.
Quite a lot. You may have rabbit ears underneath.
So, heart sort of feels lost on this episode at the same time. I guess they're trying to pull a bit of emotion with Lisa, but not really.
It just doesn't tie together properly. This was my main kind of problem with it. Like, the things she wanted were not the things she lamented when she lost it. You know, it should have been a moment of, oh, I really just wanted to, you know, try and make a difference at school. And Marge, actual Marge, could be like, Lisa, you always make a difference every day. You're just one person, sure, but one person can be all the difference in the world. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They hug and drink lemonade.
Yeah, so pretty devoid of that. But ultimately, did this feel like an episode of The Simpsons? Are these the characters we know and love? Is this a show we know and love?
It really calls...
like a good one.
Really calls back to some shittier seasons.
Yeah.
Like, is 31 the Disney era? I can't remember when that starts. Or is that 32?
Yeah, look, I'm calling the 30s the Disney era, but 30 was, like, I think they were sold to Disney within that time, but they
still
were
not produced
under that banner. I think 31 is, like, where you get that moving towards Disney.
Yeah, because this feels like a 20s episode. There's so many things. Like, a big one that made me feel like that was when Lisa's like, oh, why do I need braces again? Pick up her saxophone and then bite it and her teeth bend backwards. Like, that immediate, oh, but why does this? And then immediately just pick up the thing that's the reason. It's like... That makes no sense other than you're just forcing it. It would have been better as a line of like, you know, could all my years of biting down on a saxophone be catching up with me or something? I don't know.
What do you reckon, Diana? Was this the show you like?
It was a show that I have liked, but this wasn't a show I liked. This isn't the worst episode you've made me watch by any means, but yeah. It's definitely on the lower end.
Yeah.
It's just upsetting because I have been watching so many of the, like, season 34, 35 episodes. I've really liked them. I've also been mooching a Disney account to watch some season 1 through, like, 9.
Naturally.
It's been great. I've watched more Simpsons in the last, like, 2 months than I probably have in, you know, a couple years.
Yeah, wow.
And then I just remember this. I remember this is the black hole that covers the whole middle of The Simpsons.
Yeah, and I'm looking through, like, the season 31 episodes that we've done so far. This has actually been where we've had the one episode that got a cubic ranking in the 30s, but that's from Danny the Wildcard Rosewell.
But that said, I also want to go back to that episode and rewatch it and see if I agree with Danny, because it was hard to call something a cubic on having watched it once to call it essential, but I'm very curious to go back to that one.
I mean, I'm still not brave enough to call it a cubic, but I've gone back to that one. It holds up. That episode slaps. Highway to Well.
Shit, yeah.
And again, an episode which sounded so bad, Marge starts working for a dispensary and Homer starts a competing one.
Well, I'm going to have to watch that now. Now that I know there's another good one
before
the quote-unquote, you know...
Renaissance.
The Renaissance of The Simpsons, yeah. Now I need to go back. I've missed a bunch of the 30s because I assume they were all shit, and it seems like there's maybe a couple episodes in there that are...
Yeah, well, once again, to spruik the Simpsons Index, where you can see our handy-dandy online spreadsheet to so you can watch only the good episodes. But yeah, like the one we reviewed with The Real Jims, Livin' La Pura Vida, where they go to Costa Rica and there's a big mystery with Kirk and the thing. Like, that was good. Thanksgiving of Horror, that was an interesting experiment.
Yeah, I remember liking Thanksgiving of Horror. Probably the biggest cultural moment that one movie, I think it's called Life, is going to have. Alien, but water.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and Apocalypto as well got a weird shout-out in that one, which is a movie that, I don't know, I didn't assume had any impact, but there you go.
Yeah.
And yeah, also Todd, Why Hast Thou Forsaken Me, an episode which we loved despite the ending.
Yeah, which started off with such promise, but if you want to... You want to see someone load, like, you know, double barrel emotional buckshot and then just not shoot it at you? At least it has the idea and it's a devastating concept, but...
I don't like this Bambi director's cut.
But well, they don't shoot Bambi.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm not going through all the bad episodes we watched in that season as well, but like, just to like give the overall thing that, yeah, season 31 actually had some up moments in there. Like, this isn't...
Oh, thanks for bringing me for the down point.
Again, I haven't watched a lot of the post 30 episodes either, so
you
like...
knew the description. You told me this is the one where Marge is a robot.
I mean, given how vague Disney Plus descriptions are, this could have been anything.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Lisa the Boy Scout, which if you know what episode that is, boy, you're in for a ride.
Yeah, a lot of people have come out in favor of that one, and I did not vibe with it.
I didn't like it.
Have we done that one?
No.
That's what I mean when I say even at its worst, it's interesting now. Because that was definitely an experiment.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're taking some swings. Yeah.
They better take some swings and miss than to just not try.
Yeah, no, that was like, that was, you know, the Family Guy cutaway episode.
100%. And yeah, for better or worse, that was my problem with it. But we'll review that one in good time. But
in good time.
Bronze.
But this one, yes or no, would we watch it again?
No.
No.
No. BT, what would you like to change?
I mean, a lot. Tighten up that beginning, like, just have it make more sense. I have so many notes of whack I didn't talk about, but one was Grandpa being like, ah, it took me three times at the therapist to realize Homer had just taken me to a goat, and then pulls out a can and starts eating it. I'm like,
no, first he goes, but and now he won't take me back.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Mm.
Yeah, so a lot about this beginning I really didn't like. And also just that plot launches off because Bart's like, haha, this is what this app says we'll look like in a few years. And it's like, oh, yeah, you should get braces. Like, wait, what? How are these connected? Like, this is not actual medical advice. This is a shitty app. So that was fucking weird. And this, the ending as well, doesn't work on any level. It forgot what it was doing, which really needs a whole lot of fix. So I would fix, but that's during the midpoint, I was like, okay, at least this is consistent. We are still getting a cause to effect going on, which is why I say the beginning, the mid was, you know, improving. Gotta puff up the beginning and the end so it equals the middle, and then you'll have a tube rather than a sort of inflated middle, which I don't know what shape that the diamond I made.
You're gonna fall right out of the boat that has an inflated middle but no sides.
Yeah, exactly. So you gotta tighten up them dogs, inflate that boat, whatever metaphor we're using.
How about you, Diana? What would you like to change about this episode?
I would make it so Homer doesn't do a sexy growl at his son. And looks at the smartphone app.
Yeah.
That was not a great moment.
Or that, a boy doesn't make a hey there toots to his own sister.
Because
he doesn't recognize her if she's smiling. Saying toots a lot this episode. Didn't see that coming.
Also, there was one joke I kind of liked, but they went on too long for it, which was Chief Wiggum saying, like, looking for a retainer, and then it immediately cuts to all the police on a boat going to, like, a garbage island. And just says, like, you're on retainer. And that's fine. But then it stayed on that for, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
They were so proud of that joke, you could tell.
Yeah. If it cut immediately, I would have thought that was a pretty great moment. There are some moments in this episode had good timing, like Homer's food coma. That was immediate, quick, and then it stayed on it way too long.
Yeah, and then the pig was under the blanket as well, and that just had me going, why did they get the paramedics and take the pig away? Anyway, it's just, it leaves you too much time to start asking questions.
Yep, this is not what that episode needs.
Now, this episode, I would maybe give it a 5-minute couch gag so they could even out the rest of the episode.
Yeah, that's right, because, that's the thing. Like, with the 20s, it was all about the extended couch gag. Then the 30s is about straight into episode. Yeah, it was actually like a weird, nice throwback to go, oh, this was an intro here.
I wouldn't say nice to describe a 20s intro.
No. But, I mean, the couch gag itself with Nelson had the Simpsons coin and then got hit by the train, it didn't do anything for me.
You could do without the extra beat of Nelson getting hit by the train. Putting the Simpsons coin on the track so it gets run over, sure, but you didn't need the extra beat.
I mean, need those extra 5 seconds.
Yeah. This gag's not fun. Have a child get hit by a train? Perfect.
Other than that, I guess I would change basically everything I can.
Yeah.
It was just, I guess, make it so Marge isn't a robot. Maybe make it so Artie's with someone, even if it's someone who doesn't look identical to Marge but has similar mannerisms. Maybe get Julie Kavanagh to do a second character so it's similar but not identical.
Artie's just making this doppelganger just smoke all the time, so she's got the raspy voice. And
yeah, and there'd be a moment of, you know, you can't, she's a person, she's a wonderful person all on her own, you shouldn't be trying to force her into a mold, and he learns a lesson and moves on finally, so we don't have to see Artie Ziff anymore. Yeah, either kill him or get him to move on. I don't really care.
No, kill him. Just he has used up all his chances.
For real.
But next episode will be AI, or it'll be like the NFT of Marge.
I minted a coin for you, Marge.
Yeah, it turns out, for a hot minute, the Marge coin is worth a bunch. Oh, God.
I think it is season 35. The Halloween episode does have NFTs in it.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It's a weird Snowpiercer, and then it's like a few different things all at once.
They're at least were aware that NFTs were dying.
Yeah, it's good. Very much it's aware of an NFT and aware the bubble is deflating, but that's about as deep as
it came out at probably the best time it could have, I guess.
Yeah.
Because of that.
No, because I watched a South Park episode where...
I'm so sorry.
I just, like, Well, first of all, I was trying to get the most out of the small time I was going to have a Paramount Plus subscription. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, yeah, they'd been doing these specials. So, yeah, this was, like, their latest one. And, like, a lot of the plot hinged around, like, Prime energy drink being a very in thing that the kids were all about. And, like, by the time the episode even came out, like, South Park's whole thing was, like, their quick turnaround was, yeah, meant they were able to talk about topics when they were relevant. But by the time this that episode came out, Prime, the fad had already been done, and, like, it's already discounted, you know, cheaper than water in most supermarkets,
like,
now.
Of all the ones they had in, like, the back burner for when they didn't have an idea, that was the one.
Yeah. Oh, and a lot of the plot hinges on, you know, the overdoing of, like, multiverse movies, and it's just, yeah, it feels so out of touch. Who would be surprised by that? South Park being out of touch these days, but whatever. But where I'm standing on this episode like that is, like, it feels like, of course, this is
torture.
Pardon?
Torture.
Torture.
It feels like torture.
Not quite that
it feels
bad.
Like more the suggestion of torture. Like, I might drill your teeth.
But, like, I don't know if it's one of these things where it even gets close to a good idea. I feel like just us chatting now, the whole...
It did. It was called Last Exit to Springfield. It was great.
All the episodes that it's referencing. Yeah,
Burning Lisa was great.
Yeah.
Artie was okay.
For a time. But, yeah, this evolution of him, like... And, yeah, the idea that, yeah, we've been chatting around and workshopping of, like, yeah, Artie dates a Marge doppelganger legitimately, like, immediately sounds more interesting. Like, because, like I said, Diana, I didn't watch this episode prior to pitching it to you to review. I just read the Wikipedia description. I'm like, yeah, Artie marries a Marge bot. That sounds stupid. Let's do that. Like, and it didn't even live up to that. It was just, oh, and all the bots hate him, and one shoots Toast out of its head.
Like, it's the weird thing of, like, him being surprised one is a toaster. It's like, you built this. You installed the toaster.
But he didn't make the wings, so yeah. I guess they have some ability
some
to do that.
Evolution abilities, which is confusing, to make toast. That's... Shit.
But yeah, none of it was really funny enough, and it's like, I don't even know if, like, Marge is a robot, Artie creates a Marge bot to marry is just a good idea at all at any point, like, in any version.
I would dare say, I don't think Schwartzwelder himself could make that work.
But where there is potential in, like, Lisa getting a bit more people acting positively towards her with the whole smiling thing, but I feel like this episode lays it on so thickly, especially with the whole she's reading the clearly sad ending of Charlotte's Web and everyone's like, oh, we're happy about this. And Hoover then, you know, talking about her drugs and Zoloft and everything. And it's like I said, this episode just sort of happens at you, and it's like...
It is things on a screen and very little engagement.
I guess the main point I'm trying to circle around to is that when it comes to what would I change, I'm like, fuck, is there anything salvageable here?
Yeah, it's not the biggest trash fire train wreck we've seen, but maybe it's because none of it really... Nah, like, there are elements, yeah. There's a
there
more
a
interesting
rhino.
Version of the Artie Ziff
there was
story.
A rhino. We can keep
there was
the
a
rhino.
Rhino. We can all agree on that. There's a more interesting version of the Artie Ziff plotline if you don't make it a robot. There's a something to be... You get there some other way with Lisa, I think. You know, have a moment of popularity and trying to use that for good seems very much like her.
She could run for, like, school president, and then it becomes a parody of Evita. Yeah.
Completely original ideas we've never seen before.
Yeah. All right, I think it's time for our final notes.
Now it's time, and now it's time for our final notes. Everyone's final notes.
Diana, do you have any final notes about this episode you want to mention before we rank it?
I have one note left, because I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel. One other joke that I kind of liked was just when Bart was using the puberty app, and it basically said, like, dead at 17. I liked that, and I liked that he said cool. I don't know, I guess I just want Bart to die. I'm not. This episode put me in a bad mood, maybe.
No, he's even had things before where he's like, I'm not supposed to die now, I'm supposed to die at 17 in a motorcycle accident, or words to that effect. You know.
All right. Well, how about you, BT? Any other notes?
The whole wedding invite was wacky. The only part I liked was there'll be deep fried ice sculptures. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it was doing a whole reference to the Tupac hologram, which...
Yeah, that was my next note, and that was a big down arrow of just like, fucking hell.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind the idea that it interrupts them again when they're having the bed follow-up conversation and somehow this hologram greeting card has made its way back in. But again, it's one of these... The material wasn't funny, then Tupac gets involved and it feels like a dated reference and drag-out jokes and blah.
Yeah, well, speaking of drag out jokes, how about when Lisa's at the Kids Rule dentist and she just randomly just says, oh, but your last name is Kids Rule. And she's like, that's right. It's short for Kids Rulevich, which in Hungarian means kill all children. It's like, fuck me. None of that was even close to funny.
Mm.
There's something I almost like about Lisa finding a video that says, do not show to students, also do not throw away, keep on a low shelf. Just because I do love, hate that trope of this forbidden knowledge that we still keep for some reason.
Yeah. No, I liked that and I thought it was a good visual gag, yeah.
Yep. I did like the when they're having the election, there's a big banner that just says loser gets detention.
I missed that. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a good joke here. I'm surprised.
Look, there are a couple, not a lot. I already talked about how much I hated Lisa's little speech that didn't make sense to its own episode. And then I wrote, this could replace Novocaine in a dentist surgery because I felt numb and nothing.
And yeah, for my final notes, I actually didn't mind when Homer arrives at the party and there's a pick your lobster and then pick your veal. I thought that was a pretty fun dark joke. Yay, baby cow murder.
Sure.
You know, get it. Speaking of get it, the whole Artie got rich because his invention was money to burn wood burning logs that look like money. And then Homer's like, oh, do you get the joke? And it drags out for fucking ever.
He's like, yeah, I invented it. It's like, no, but do you get it? It says money. Yeah, that goes on.
I like how Milhouse goes, at least have you done something to your eyebrows? And he goes, I don't have eyebrows. Like,
yeah, that was actually good. And
yeah.
There was a disturbingly good animation of Milhouse wiggling his eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Didn't ask about playlist. Yeah, put this in the Milhouse wiggle eyebrow playlist.
The other one, too.
Did anyone have any other notes of playlist for this one? I forgot to ask it.
Man, last exit to Springfield Moaning Lisa. We've come.
Yeah, we've been doing it the whole episode, haven't we? But yeah, just while we're on Milhouse as well, his involvement for the rest of the episode, I didn't get and I fucking hated. Him, like, drawing pictures of, like, how him and Lisa's life is going to play out.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of liked when she goes, I'm not happy. He goes, I drew a picture of you saying that. That was okay-ish, but yeah, it was not worth it to get there.
Also, I was half paying attention at this point, but one of the pictures, I think, was Lisa as, like, president, and it had Milhouse kind of dressed like Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Ah, a bit of fashion corner.
Wink.
Because it's Modern Simpsons, they have to have a pronoun joke in there. And yeah. Brandine Spuckler goes, W's pronouns are they, them, because he wants to acknowledge the twin he absorbed in utero.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Oh, and this can also go on the playlist of stealing stuff from hotels.
Oh, yeah, true. Souvenir.
Free shower curtain.
Oh, that one too. Wow, both season 5. Interesting. Yeah. It's funny, my instinct as well when Lisa is Skyping into the debate, I was wondering, like, because this whole thing with, like, the filters going on and, like, the computer fucking up and making her look weird and different, I was wondering, oh, was this a reference to that guy who was a cat in that, like, court appearance and was like, oh, wait, no, this was in January of 2020. This is a weirdly prescient joke.
Are you saying Simpsons predicted something?
Simpsons?
Because the audience was sitting there being like, what's Skype? What's Zoom? I've never heard of these things.
You can do filters on your face?
What?
I remember like a decade ago seeing one of those lists of Simpsons predictions, and it had the Lisa's wedding thing where Lisa and Marge were video calling. And I was saying Simpsons predicted Skype, and I'm just thinking, God.
Yeah.
Because what future predicting, like, any media wasn't predicting video calls, you know? Like,
Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 is possibly the first reference, but I can't back that up.
But, yeah, it's like when we eventually will get hover cars of saying the Simpsons predicted it. No, everyone was banking on hover cars. Yeah, look, that's all my notes. I think it is time to rank this thing. On the Simpsons Index, we rank using a 6-point scale, which starts down the bottom at failure. Maybe if the episode was just meh, you give it a participant. But for the positive rankings, you got okay, bronze, good silver, excellent gold, but for the best of the very best, you give cubic zirconia. I'm going to go first, let me show you how it's done. Look, just getting a big old participant from me. I'm tempted to go down because I feel like this conversation has brought me down, but like ultimately the feeling of watching this, you're right, BT, it's Novocaine, it's fucking dead air. Like, it's... a couple of laughs, like, save it from the pit, I reckon, but participant for me, BT.
Look, for me, the Rhino saves it from the pit.
Yeah.
I just don't care about this one enough to hate it. That's kind of going to be the thing. This is arguably one of those situations where hatred would be better because I would feel something. Mm. And, you know, for something that I feel flubs its landing, I should kick it in the pit. But it just washes over you and it's just there.
Sure
it's
does. Just
air blowing in your face and it's hard to get mad about that. So, yeah, I'm going to participate as well with, like I'm looking at the pit behind him. Like, well, I could kick it in. It is holding a rhino I like, but I could maybe I could catch the rhino in time.
Diana, please finish it off.
I'm going failure. If I
so brave.
Sit down to watch 20 minutes of something and there's 20 minutes of nothing, that's a failure of TV.
Yep, fair.
So yeah, it was bad. It wasn't the worst. It wasn't completely irredeemable.
Mm.
But it failed to entertain me. The best moments it had besides the rhino are just remembering other better episodes, yeah. Which isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
And the story sucked. The execution sucked. What really was left? there's nothing. Didn't have any, like, redeeming moments. There isn't even, like, I know we disagreed with it one of the last times I was here, but the awful episode from season 17 or whatever, where the school is split into a boy and girl school.
Mm.
That one sucked. But even I'm like, oh, I like the Lion King intro. Thing. And that's a slightly redeeming moment to me. This episode had nothing like that. It was just awful all the way through.
I'm honestly glad someone was brave enough to kick it in the pen. I'm a little bit tempted, but I don't think I'm quite there.
I'm too numb to raise my foot to kick.
I know, I'm too angry. this is the last thing I'm doing before I go to sleep and work.
Oh, no.
And this is going to haunt the rest of my day tomorrow.
I hope your day improves from there.
It can't get worse. They could fire me and I'd be like, that wasn't as bad as what I just saw.
You think that was bad? I just watched this fucking episode of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can see from entering this in that season 31 will lose its dull bronze overall status as well.
I'm really happy to be the one to do that.
And it'll be dropping down to a shiny participant. And it'll make it, so far, our, still not bad, 18th best season, so far.
Weird you can say not bad, 18th best.
Yeah.
You haven't done 35 yet, so.
No, I haven't done
a... get knocked down to 19th worst soon.
It is pretty wild, the jump that season 30 to 31 has. Like, 30 is our, like, worst ranked season. And then, yeah, it gets up to the halfway point, into the better half, but... We're still a while away from reviewing all of the season 31 episodes, so
yep.
Stay tuned.
We'll get there, listener.
And stay tuned to the spreadsheet where we'll be entering all this data and compiling and frink stuff. Yeah. But that's what we're doing over here. Diana, what are you doing on the internet? Tell the folks out there where they can find you.
I'm on YouTube at... I'm alt-tabbing now loudly. YouTube.com at... Freezer94, just Freezer, like the appliance. I do YouTube videos almost exclusively on handheld video games. I did one recently on Dragon Quest III's Game Boy Color port. Yeah, I do a lot of that stuff. I'm working on a video now on a game neither of you care about. But sometimes, every like 5 videos, I do a video that appeals to you. I'm doing that. I just recently hit 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah, congrats.
And I'm on my own Patreon, where I'm making... 44 a month, which is 44 a month more than I expected.
It is nice when you just throw it out there for the Patreon and say, oh shit, some people will financially back this thing.
People care. It's lovely.
I've got a few videos planned now. I'm actually going to do a WonderSwan video in the next couple of months. Do either of you know what a WonderSwan is?
No.
No, I assumed I misheard you.
Yeah. WonderSwan was a late 90s, early 2000s Japan-only handheld. It was made by Bandai.
Oh my god, would you look at this fucking thing?
Yeah, it was the last...
How do you hold it? Sorry, Diana.
You can hold it two different ways. You can hold it portrait or landscape. Some games are different.
Right.
It was... The original was black and white with a shitty green screen like a Game Boy, and then it got a color version shortly after... Japan Only was pretty popular and Japan got a lot of support, but then the Game Boy Advance destroyed it.
Wow, just looking from the diagrams, it's a lot smaller than it looks like.
Oh, it's tiny. Yeah. I've got one behind me. It is a tiny little thing. A shitty screen because it's not backlit. But it's cool.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of been like a white whale of mine where I've wanted it forever but didn't want to justify the money. But a friendly supporter of mine actually gifted me his.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I'm loving it. But it's a cool little thing. It was the last thing that was developed by Gunpei Yokoi, the creator of a Game Boy, Game & Watch, Virtual Boy. Basically, I don't know if it's 100% true, but the idea is he kind of was shamefully told to leave Nintendo after the Virtual Boy went the way it did. And then he went to Bandai, made the Tamagotchi, made this, and then he died. He actually died before this came out. He got hit by a car.
Oh, is that right?
97. He was young, but he started this. It's kind of like how Iwata, you know, started working on the Switch but never saw it.
No, an amazing bit of history as well. I had no idea that that same dude did the Tamagotchi as well. That's incredible.
Yeah, no, he did a lot. He also made Metroid. You know, he had his hands everywhere. He would be, like, probably up there with Miyamoto if he was still alive, but... You know, he died decades ago now.
Yeah, what a fascinating history. But yeah, go check that out on Diana's channel. And yeah, you've really curated a really cool spot for a lot of underappreciated and under-researched games and under-researched consoles.
I mean,
as well. And
aren't talking about the Joan of Arc tactical RPG for PSP. I don't know.
I mean,
why.
People we know are. But people, they need to know.
People don't talk about Henry Hatsworth and the puzzling adventure for DS. What's wrong with people? How have you not heard of these games?
It's an adventure and it's puzzling. What else do you want?
It's actually really good. 10 people have heard of it. but it's one of the best games, like 10 people played.
Hey, and that subscriber count keeps going up. Yeah, only more people are going to be finding out about it.
I've been paying for thousands of bots. It's about time it goes up.
That's right. All the spider bots that you're paying right now that can also make toast.
All the
they fly away when I tell them to come.
Well, they're skittish.
And BT, what if people want to hear more of us?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/sidequeststudios, which is the blanket for everything we do here. And if you subscribe for as little as like $5 a month, you can get access to like over 160 exclusive podcasts where we cover a whole range of things like Simpsons episodes and Simpsons exclusive DVD content. And of course, movies that star the cast of The Simpsons, but not the Simpsons movie. That's not a thing we do.
What about the Futurama movies?
But no.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess they'd count. They're movies.
Yeah. But as like a Patreon perk, you get to pick which movie. So if it stars a cast of The Simpsons, you know, even a returning cast member is kind of our cutoff. I think Lunch Lady Doris technically got us over the line for one episode. So we have watched a huge variety of films for that. It's been very fascinating. And we just love finding out what you guys can dig up in the interwebs and what have these people been in.
I need to see if I can find my old movies I made with that old Simpsons movie maker in the 90s.
Yeah.
Does that count?
I loved that thing. And I remember I tried to install it on my school's computer and I fucking melted the thing. Like, it couldn't hack it. Like, but no, that Simpsons movie maker, God, I spent so much time playing with that.
When you run out of real movies, you'll have so many of those.
And yeah, at the time I was like, this is great. I'll never run out of Simpsons episodes.
I remember thinking that.
As a kid, I used to genuinely think, like, wow, it's going to be really sad when The Simpsons ends. I wish it could go on forever.
Yeah, I think Elliot Bott will be taking care of that. You know, I don't know if I'll live to see them all.
It's the monkey's paw moment.
Yeah, for real. All right. Oh, well, yeah, that about does it for The Simpsons Index. Yeah, once again, patreon.com/sidequeststudios for...
No, you mean patreon.com/freezer94, where you can be in my credits for $3 a month.
Damn, that's cheaper than ours.
Or $5 a month to get videos slightly early. I don't offer anything to people exclusively because I don't want to make videos that one person watches, but...
Yeah, just do a podcast. It's way easier to slap together.
Yes. And like us, which, yeah, one of your perks is you get a bonus podcast every single week covering a lot of different Simpsons content.
Mm. And that 90s show, you get a second episode about that 90s show.
That's yeah. right. Diana joined us for the show, which catches up BT and all the Simpsons he missed. But Diana was there for the one-off, except when they're not episode.
It was the best one you've done.
No, good times over there. Links to everything in descriptions. But for now, yeah, that's been the podcast. Once again, thank you, Diana.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
And we'll get you back.
I'll keep saying that until I get like a million subscribers, then I won't need you anymore. But until then, I'm happy to be here.
We'll be leeching off all your success then, and we'll be like, we knew her when. And BT, thank you again.
I mean, if we never closed, I'd never leave. I don't know. I fucked everything up. Bye.
So did this episode of The Simpsons. So anyway, yeah. That's all the mustard in the house.
Thank you for listening to the Simpsons Index podcast, which is also an online spreadsheet available at thesimpsonsindex.com. You can also check out our other shows, like Pulp Fury Radio, our scripted fiction podcast, which tells all original stories across a range of pulp genres, and Thrones of Game, where we review Game of Thrones in reverse order. Links to those podcasts and more will be available in the show notes. Now, there's no bonus scenes for this episode, so we'll catch you next week.